streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Roy and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
I gotta do right before they call me home.
Good evening, and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes. As we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight, so stay tuned in to the hottest radio show worldwide.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the hottest show. Tonight, we got a great show for you tonight. We got my man Ken Francis in the building, and we're going to be bringing him in right now. So be tuned in for a great, great show. Hey, hey, Ken, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, we blessed to have you on the show tonight, man. And just want to just say welcome home. I know you've been home about a year now, so we want to just say welcome home right here at the Streets and Love You Back. And we'll get into the segment, you know. Just want to say, how did you get started in all the great things that you accomplished through the years? How did all that come about?
Well, you know, it all came about like a lot of people. You know, I interned. I was in the Air Force, and I was stationed up at Edwards Air Force Base. And when I got out of the Air Force, I met a guy at a record store, and he was working up at Motown. And he's like, man, come on over. And I met some more people, and then I ended up interning over at PolyGram Records. So that was my start into the whole industry, and that's when I caught the bug.
That's beautiful.
I saw it as an opportunity. You know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, intern means you work for free.
Yeah.
But I seen it as an opportunity to learn and to get some education for free. You know, that's
yes,
how
sir.
I seen that. Yeah.
And most people, like you said, don't understand that. You know, they look at the money first, instead of looking at, wow, okay, let me look at this big picture. I might can get some that's worth more than money that will bring me more money if I can get this education packed down at what they're teaching me. So that was a good point, Ken, that you brought to the show automatically.
Right.
So
right.
Tell us something about some of your adventures.
Well, you know, where do you want me to begin? You know, I started off interning, and then from there, eventually, you know, I met a lot of people in the industry. You know, I was good friends with Ronnie DeVoe from New Edition and all those cats, you know, the Boys, R&B group, you know, just all those people over there. And what happened was, I used to go to the video sets, and I see all these girls, you know, standing around. And I was like, man, what are y'all doing? I'm trying to be in the video. I said, y'all getting paid? So he's like, nah. I'm like, man, you know, this is a $500,000 budget, you know, $1 million budget.
Big guy.
And you ain't getting paid? I said, what's something wrong, man?
It's a bad picture.
Yeah. So what's crazy is, I took that and I took those girls there and I said, look, what if I could get you paid? You know, oh man, you know, because they was going to be there anyway. I said, well, no,
right.
What if I can get you paid for being here at least, you know, just roll with me. So, you know, that was, so back then, initially I was doing a clothing line. And so what I would try to do was I would have the girls wear my clothes on the video sets. And you know, I would give them a couple of dollars to wear my clothes on the video set. The name of my clothing line was Dime Piece, Dime Piece USA. Right. So I would do that. And then one of the guys, this guy named Monty, he was like, yo, man, you know, they really want to, you know, hire you for your girls and all this stuff. And so what happened was he used to get girls for him all the time, and the girls would end up stiffing him at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, nah, man, we can't go down like that, man, you know. So I said, listen, let me handle it, right? So
I know that's right, kid. That's me.
Yeah. And I'm not trying, you know, but it's got to be in you. It can't be on you. So, you know, some people are just so nice to their own detriment where people would take advantage of that.
You know,
so what happened was when I got with he introduced me to the casting director. Directly, so I got with the casting director, and I immediately said, listen, is there any way you can pay me, and then I'll pay the girl? She said, yeah, do you have a business account, whatever? Well, I had the clothing line. The clothing line was called Dime Piece. So I hurried up and switched gears and made the modeling agency Dime Piece also. So So I would go up to the sets with my girls wearing my clothes, who I was getting paid for to be there. And I would let all the girls know, listen here, this is how it's going to work now. All that other stuff with my man, that's over with. New sheriff in town. It's a dead issue. You're going to get, I'll get the check, take out my agency fee, and then I will pay you. But at the same time, I would let them know that they was the commodity and they was important, because I would tell them, hey, I get paid by getting you paid. So that's the bottom line, you know, and so they was with that because they wasn't, you know, getting paid anyway. Like I said, they was up there for free anyway. So now, wait a minute, we could be up here and get paid? Oh, my goodness.
And look good? Oh, Lord, let's do this, Ken.
So I took that whole concept and really just ran with it. Like, I would go to the clubs, like, 5-6 deep because, you know, they wasn't letting no dudes in. But if you come with 5-6 girls,
you in. Ken bringing the girls. Come on, Ken.
Then I'll let them know, hold up. They with me. I'm not with them. They with me. They rolled with me. They came with me.
And they are with me.
They all with me. Yeah, so it just took off from there. And that was my introduction into the industry from that whole aspect, you know. Everybody had dreams. You know, when I was younger, you had dreams of being a rapper and doing all that stuff. And, but, you know, I did production.
The thing is, I wanted to get some money, period.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't care if I got to put you on top of the car and drive you. I just want some money, man. I got all the girls outside. Now, what you want to do?
Yeah. So then what happened was I started getting with all the different artists and stuff. It's like I would do fashion shows, too, with the clothing line. And the girls will always come to me, such and such is in the audience. He said he want me to do this. He want me to do that. And they would, you know, get me like, Ken, I don't know if he's for real or not. All right, cool. I will talk to him. I say, look, man, I know you're trying to holler at them. But the best way to holler at them is to hire them for whatever you're doing, and they could be on the set with you all day long. You could talk to them all day. And it's so funny.
Oh,
it was like, and look, they was still like, man, I'm
like
you, man. Them
all day, man. Just pay me
all
my check,
day,
man. And you can have them all day on the set, B.
All day, man. Just give me my check.
I'm feeling that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, man, that's how the game is, man. And, you know, and a lot of people just took to it because I just had that personality. A lot of the artists and so forth. I was straight up with them. Man, listen, I know what it is. I'm not trying to hate on none of that. But at the same time, you know, it costs to drive
let
them up here.
Let me get mine.
Yeah.
So now you're in the game, Ken. Now you're in the game now. And how do the game flow for you from there?
How did the game flow for me from there?
Yeah.
My big break was when... like I said, when I had the modeling agency, I would all different companies would call me, and Playboy called me, and they was like, "Hey, you know, we want to start using ethnic women." They was trying to build up their, you know, demographics, you know, try to get the whole hip hop scene. So I said, hey, man, it's great that you're doing that, but I got an idea for a show.
You know, I'm always, hey, listen, just put me in the room with them. That was my thing. Just put me in the room. I'm going to talk about something. I'm feeling you, kid. You say you call it on one thing. Let me just, this new Hepner, let me just put you up on what I'm trying to do, too.
Yeah.
I feel you, bro.
Yeah. And it was funny because at the same time, Snoop Dogg had actually called me up, someone had called me up to do one of his independent movies. And when I got there and I brought him the girls for his independent movie, me and him just clicked right off the bat, just hit it off. And he was just like, man, I love your movement. I love how you're doing things. And he had did a deal with Girls Gone Wild. So he was like, man, I want to do Black Girls Gone Wild. And I said, you know, I don't know. I don't know if the girls really want to do Man, yeah. He had a party. He had a party, and them same girls went up there, man, and they was getting wild. I said, well, shit, they already do it. Man.
It's already in effect, Snoop.
It's already in effect. So his thing was he wanted to pay for it. He was like, listen, I want to take you out on tour with me. I want to take 10 girls, and I want to do Black Girls Gone Wild, because he had to deal with Girls Gone Wild. But the issue was is that they kept surrounding him with Caucasian women and old Snoop Buddy. And he kept telling him, listen, man, where the sisters at? Where the Latinas at? And they was like, nah, this is how it is. So when he met me, you know, I had a crew. My crew was deep. But again, at the same time, like I said, I was pitching the thing to Playboy. So Playboy said, listen, I love your idea, because I actually showed them some stuff, because I had did some videos back in the days called Buck Wild Beach Week. That's when I went to Houston to Galveston to the Kappa Fest, and I filmed them just getting buck wild on the beach and everything, packaged it up, and put out a video. Voila, Buck Wild Beach Week, you know.
Wow.
Oh yeah, and that back when we still had record stores and all that, you know, I went up in the record store.
Yeah,
stores,
that was back in the 80s, wasn't it?
Actually, it was in the 90s. That was
okay,
in the 90s.
Early 90s.
Yeah, it was like the mid-90s when they were still doing Freaknik and all that type of stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah, down in Atlanta with the Freaknik, yeah.
Right. They was doing that. I mean, here it is, a bunch of people getting, you know, doing their Freaknik stuff on public streets for free.
And you're doing it anyway for free. Let Ken pull up. He going to show you how to master this thing.
Look, I pulled out a camera. I started filming them.
You just took your thing cross country, I kid.
Man, that was one of the good old days, because, you know, if they're in a public location, man, you can film away. You know, that's what they're doing.
Yeah. For free.
So, you know, I did that. And then, like I said, I showed that to Playboy. They loved it. And their whole thing was, we want a name, you know, this is cool, but who are we going to get to drive this? We need a celebrity name. I said, well, give me a wish list and, you know, tell me who you want. Well, so funny, at the top of their list was Snoop Dogg. And here's Snoop Dogg in my other ear talking about he want to take me on tour. So. I put the two together. Snoop Dogg couldn't believe that, you know, I could bring Playboy to the table. He was like, oh my goodness, you Playboy? I said, yeah, dog. I called him up. I had him on the phone. The dude who I was dealing with, his name was Scott. He's one of the executive producers over there. He couldn't believe it. I said, Scott, I got Snoop on the phone. He said, no, you're kidding me. You know, Snoop does his thing. What's up, nephew? Yeah. For Shizzle, Dizzle.
Oh man, I know you had him just straight flipping when you kid when you had the big dog on the line, didn't they?
Oh my goodness, man. It was crazy, you know. I couldn't even believe it, you know. I mean for me to just walk into a deal like that. I mean, this was a major deal. You know,
that was a God blessing deal though. Cause like you say, everybody was doing it for free, and you came and said, look, I can do this thing where you can get paid, I can get paid, we can stop all this standing around on the set. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you let it be known. Let's get this money. Let's stop standing around, and Ken's finna go to work.
I'm finna go to work. If you follow me, I got you. And,
right.
and that's what it was, man. It just took off from there. Playboy did the deal with us. What I would like to say about Snoop is when I went to the meeting with the president of the company at the time, they got me over there. Now, mind you, this was my whole idea. Snoop was like, man, I'm rolling with you. Let's go. When we got there to the meeting with Playboy, he's like, okay, well, tell us about it. So I'm telling him the whole time. He's like, yeah. But Snoop, man, oh, my goodness, man, I really love your music and everything, man. So how can we do this? He's like, well, you know, this is Ken's thing.
He done,
you know,
he done lost his mind when he got you and Snoop and that together. This, he done lost his mind. He talking about music now.
Listen, the man lost his mind. Not only did he lose his mind, but they tried to bypass me and step over me and get to Snoop directly.
Snoop.
Right. And the whole time, they keep saying, well, Snoop, give us some of your ideas. Which he said, listen, my idea is, this is Ken's thing, and, you know, he going to tell you what it is, you know? And it's so funny, because at the end, they was like, Snoop, so give us your attorney's information so we can send the contracts and all that. And he said, look here, man, I've been telling y'all the whole time. Y'all ain't going to send me nothing. I'm already signed a deal with Ken and Buck Wild. I'm rolling with him. This is his deal. And it was like the DJ hit the booth, like someone hit the DJ's booth, and it was just quiet. And all of a sudden they just switched gears. Oh yeah. Of course, yeah, Ken, yeah. So yeah, give us all your information, and we get the contracts to you. And I was like, oh wow. And
okay,
from there,
now you're listening now, y'all. You're listening now.
Yeah. So from there, I had nothing but respect for Snoop because he could have easily just said, you know, forget him and went directly.
Send it to my lawyer.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But he
right
Snoop that mean, kind of guy. He must respectful to everybody, you know. So he say send it to Ken. Ken is
right.
The man who put this thing together, not me.
Yeah. One thing about him, he's loyal. You know, if you're loyal to him, he's loyal back. So he was like, nah, I'm rolling with Ken. And sure enough, he signed a deal with me, and then my company, Buck Wild Entertainment, signed a deal with Playboy.
My man. So now y'all got the big deal. What happens now, Ken?
Well, you know, I did a lot of touring with Snoop. What was the Playboy deal led to another deal, because after the Playboy deal was over with, it led to Snoop had a deal with what's the other company? Begin with a V. Hustlers. What's their company? Vivid. Vivid Entertainment. They wanted to do the same thing that Playboy did. So Snoop called me right on up, like, yo, Ken, I got another deal on the table. This is your forte. I'm giving them to you. And sure enough, we did another deal. We went on tour again. Because we were going on tour, and we would take like 10 girls on the bus with us, you know, and go to, you know, different, whatever the tour was. The first one was with the Rock the Mic tour, so that's how I was able to get 50 Cent, Jay-Z, Chingy, Busta Rhymes. I mean, we on tour with them, you know, for like 3 weeks.
Everybody's rocking.
And you know, and everywhere we go, you know, I'm falling off the bus with 10 bad ones. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, every time.
So it's like, who is this dude?
Who is this guy?
You know, but and it was funny because it was at the same time that Snoop had changed, like his persona had changed. This whole, you know, remember he was the gangster rapper, then he went to the the whole pimp player mode, and he was
heavy for a minute,
hard in the yard with that, and here I am supplying him with all the girls, so we just fit like a hand in glove, you know? I would make, yeah, wherever he would go, you know, I would be like on him, like cracking the whip, like, yo, Snoop about to do this, y'all make sure y'all, you know, if it's 10 of y'all, 5 of y'all need to be on each side of him, and, you know, y'all need to do this and do that, and it was just on and cracking. I mean, it just opened up the door to so many things.
Yeah, when he hit the stage, you'd be right on stage too when he started rapping, you know?
Listen, I'm on the side of the stage right there with my camera filming all the behind the scenes stuff. You know.
Wow.
And so from the Playboy tour, what happened was Snoop was like, "Yo, man, I want to continue this, so I want you to go on tour with me." You know? And the deal was this: I'll pay for you to come on tour, but I'm not going to pay for you to be on tour. What you can do is you can film everything, and then you can, you know, go and sell the footage and do whatever you want to do with it, which was a great deal. To me, I was like, yes. You know, everybody else, see, they didn't see what I saw. Everybody was like, ah. Yeah, they was like, "Oh, man, you ain't getting paid to be on tour." No. I'm on. He's paid for me to be there. He paid for my whole ride, you know, to be there. But I'm filming all this incredible footage that I know is worth something. See, one thing about Snoop, he don't like to, you know, be filmed and stuff like that. He's comfortable who he's comfortable with. So, like, when BET came around and was like, "We want to do All Access," or VH1, "We want to do the True Hollywood Story," he would say, "Get with my man Ken. He got all the footage. Whatever you need, he got it." And they would come to me then and pay me for the footage, license it
from
me.
That's how Snoop wanted it to be.
Right.
Yeah, let my man Ken handle that, because I'm doing something else. Ken is in that slot. Don't call me, call him. He'll take care of that.
Exactly. So now, you know, I get into some trouble. I'm fast forwarding now. I get into some legal issues for some BS that I got into with my models. One of my ex-models had asked me to hook up with some girls for an overseas gig, and was like, I'm doing an overseas photo shoot. You know, going to make some extra money on the side. The girl's going to be bringing back some loose diamonds. I will pay you, you know, $2,500, $3,500. A girl that they bring back some loose diamonds. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, where are they going? Oh, they're going to Amsterdam. I was like, okay, well, shit. I can't think of really no drugs.
No bad
thing. But yeah, right. Coming from Amsterdam, I'm like, okay, well, shit, it's on. Like, I ain't going to go nowhere. All I got to do is just supply you with the girls. You're going to deal with all of that, and you're going to hand me, you know, a check every time for each girl? Well, shit, let's go.
I'm good with that. Go ahead. Let's move.
I'm good. So I did that over the summer in 2001. And, you know, did it probably, you know, about 3-4 months. After that, you know, that's when things took off for me, and I was, you know, on the road with Snoop and doing all that stuff. Here comes 2006, comes around. I'm coming back from South Africa.
You ain't even thinking about that.
They ain't even thinking about it. It's damn near 5 years later. It's 4 years and 10 months to the date later. Only reason I know that because they told me, because they was like, "Yeah, man, you know, 5 years, the statute of limitations would have been up." I said, "Oh, shit." But
no, you was like, on what?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm coming back from South Africa. We had just did the Freedom Fest in South Africa. We went to Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town. I mean, a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, if anybody gets a chance to go back to the motherland, because it is the motherland, you know, don't
right.
be fooled. You know, when you see all those pictures of people, you know, flies and nappy head up, nah, the place is beautiful. You know, that's not to say that they don't have that, but it's the
but
other
that ain't
stuff
where
that
Ken went.
Nah,
that ain't where Ken went.
Nah, in Cape Town is like Miami on steroids. Like, the water is crystal clear, the people are beautiful, the women, everybody. It's just gorgeous over there. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, they got BMWs, Benzes, they doing all of that.
They got the whole package.
They got the whole package over there. And like I said, we was over there for a Freedom Fest, so it was just, you know, overwhelming, you know, my whole thing was I wanted to meet Mandela. He was sick,
yeah.
But we met his children, though. And that was still, you know, like, wow, you know, I get to meet, you know, the family members at least. And,
Yes.
And, yeah, it was a great thing, man, just to be there, you know, just to feel, you know, because this is your people. Like, wow, this is my people,
yes.
Man, you know. This is our own country where we all came from. This is it.
You
know.
Look at all this and soak it in.
Yeah, yeah. And I filmed everything. That's one thing, you know, like I was saying, after the deals with the Playboy and all that other stuff, Snoop, like I said, would take me on the tour, and I would film everything. I mean, I have so much footage. I mean, so
right,
many.
That's what he wanted.
Right. And so when we came back, you know, I stopped off in customs, and they hit me with the fake, you've been picked for a random customs check. And I was like, okay, cool. I mean, I'm not tripping. I'm kind of like, you know, like, yeah, dog, you ain't the only one that's VIP. Yeah.
Right, yeah, no, no doubt. Yeah, let me get this check out the way, man, before I get on home, you know?
Exactly, man. So I went over there. When I went over there, they already had my bags and everything. So I hit them with, hold up, if this is random, how you already have my bags? You know?
Yeah.
And so some dude was like, Kenny, or should I say Buck Wild, or should I say Dime Piece? I'm like, well, damn, who are you? All these names. Yeah, so he was, you know, he hit me with the, man, you've been part of the, back then, you was part of the largest ecstasy smuggling ring at the time. Come to find out that the diamonds that the girls were bringing back was really ecstasy. But no one knew that because no one ever saw it. Everything was always wrapped up in the package. And so no one ever saw it. And they said the girls was bringing like 40,000 to 50,000 pills a package.
And you ain't knowing nothing about that. You thinking you just getting paid for some diamonds that's being brought back.
God's honest truth. I had no idea. First of all, listen, if I would have knew that, $3,500 won't be enough.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying?
Almost $200,000 to even look at Ken on that deal. You know
Come on now. Yeah, you bring in $40,000, $50,000. This is back then. Let's just do the math. Back then, you know, they was getting it for 50 cents each. And then coming back and bringing them over here, and back in those days, wholesale was $10, and it was $20 if you sold it yourself. You do the math.
And you think, I'm going to get $2,500 for that? Give me a break, man.
Come on. Yeah. So, you know, I went in, you know, I did my thing. You know, they was like, oh, we give you less time and all this, man. Let's go, man. And they ended up hitting me upside the head. I got more than the kingpin. I got more time than everybody. Put it like this. Yeah, the kingpin got 6.5 years. They gave me 135 months. When the judge told me that, I couldn't even calculate it. I almost fainted. Matter of fact, I did faint, and my lawyer caught me. You know? Yeah, I couldn't even. 135 months sounded like 135 years. You know?
Amen, because you wasn't hearing clear.
I wasn't hearing clear, you know. And then no one expected that because even my own attorney was like, nah, you should get like 51 months or something, you know. Oh, man, them people were mad.
I know you was in your mind, Ken. I don't want to get no months.
Yeah. You know, I was trying to get no months. Yeah. And the thing that this just, you know, that bothers me today is, you know, it's like everybody on my case, like basically, you know, told on one another. Even the kingpin, he told all the way down. Now here I am, you know, I was raised, you know, a different way. You know what I'm saying? You take your lumps as they come. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And you know, it's like, okay, well let's run with it. I take my lumps. But everybody on my case, and I can say that for a fact, I know, because, you know, everybody get their paperwork. Everybody on my case told. And
wow.
Yeah. And everybody went home before me, even though on my indictment, I'm the second from the bottom on the indictment. Right. I'm the second from the.
So you did all together how much time, Ken?
8 years.
Eight years.
I took a drug program. Yeah, I took a drug program and all that. They gave you a year off. So out of 11 years and so many months, I did 8 years.
Man, you know what I mean? For nothing that you even had nothing to even do with. And that is so crazy how our system is, you know, and I just want to speak on that for a couple of minutes. Our system is so corrupted, you know what I mean, that you would take another man off the street that had nothing to even do with bringing nothing nowhere. That's
right.
Incredible, you know?
Right. And it's like, you know, I've seen it happen so many times. You know, when you're not really in it like that or happened to you, you like, you know, like, because that's how my dad was. Prime example, my father, he used to be like, man, you must have did something. That person must have did something. And he went through the whole thing with me, and he knows his son. He knows the type of person I am. And, you know, because
right.
He, you know, we had three different lawyers, all of that. We were spending money. You know,
yeah, I got to get my son out of this thing.
Yeah, you know, and just dealing with them, it's like I would have been better off just getting a public defendant and probably pleading out from the beginning. I probably would have got less time.
Instead of spending all that money.
Instead of spending all that money and getting an attorney. You know, one of my attorneys was Milton Grimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's supposed to, that's what he's supposed to deal with. But you know, in the end, I found out that they all in bed together. All of them, the attorneys, you know, they all take the same oath. So they all in the same crew, you know.
Yeah. And the prosecutor right with them.
Right with them. And, you know, I will have to say this. What bothered me was that during my case, I think the prosecutor at the time was going to be up for her judge, going to be a judge, move on up. And
yeah.
So I'm talking to, you know, my attorney about my case. And I'm telling him to hit him with this, ask him to do this, this, this. And he goes, well, I don't really want to get on her bad side because I could use her for favors down the line. What the hell? Yes,
I'm sitting
up
here for the face 11, and you telling me something about a favor down the line, brother. I'm gonna go down the line now. You know,
yeah.
Oh my God, man.
Needless
so
to
what
say,
advice
I'll
would you
him,
give these youngsters, Ken? What advice would you give these youngsters, man, about
first
things?
First of all, you know your people that you're around and what you're doing, because. You know, a lot of people think, oh, well, I didn't do nothing. You yourself don't have to do nothing because it's what they call conspiracy. And the feds use conspiracy as a catch-all. So you don't have to do anything, but you can be a part or affiliated with somebody who does something, and that brings you into the whole thing. So it's like, you know, it's like the saying now, you know, when you get in a car with somebody, you got to know who you're getting in the car with. You got, you know, like, you got a gun, you got this, you got that. I ain't taking no chances. Matter of fact, I don't even like getting in the car with nobody.
I have my own car.
Yeah, exactly. But definitely, you know the law. That's number one. You got to know the law, man. Brothers got to start reading and know the terminology and what you're signing for and all this stuff. If you do happen to get in trouble and all that, save your money. If you ain't no big time, big money, and I mean millions of dollars, you might as well go ahead and get your public defendant. And the reason why
and
I say
keep
that.
Keep it light. Keep it light.
Keep it light. Keep it light. Because in hindsight, had I known better, I would have got a public defender, because the public defenders and the prosecutors, all of them work in the same office. You
exactly.
Know? They literally across the hall from each other. They go to lunch with each other. They do all of that. So they're going to get the better deal.
All of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. That's the bottom line. So what's happening now, Ken? You know what I mean? Are you released from that now? You're not dealing with that now? You're off parole? Or what's happening with it now?
Well, you know, I've been home for less than a year, you know. I got out, you know, last year. It's actually coming up on my anniversary, my year anniversary. So,
man, congrats.
Yeah, thanks. You know, I like to go back, though. Let me go back. What I like to say about the whole prison experience, is this. If you do happen to go to prison and you're going to be in there, keep your mind occupied. You know, once everything wears off, you know, first, you know, you're going to go through the different phases. You're going to go through the shock. You're going to be in denial. You know, when they hit me with all that time and all that stuff, I thought it was the end of the world. You know, I just knew that this was it for me. And it was some older gentleman who I didn't know from Adams. He just came up to me and he goes, "You know what? You're a good brother, young man." He goes, "But you needed to come in here because there were some things that you needed to learn." And I was like, "What?" I said, "Man, listen, man, I don't want to hear all that."
Not right today. Not right now.
You know, he was like, "Nah." He was like, "I'm serious." He said, "You know, God wanted to talk to you and you was too busy on the streets, but he got your full attention now." Like, oh my goodness. You know what I'm saying? Later on down
the
line.
He got your full attention. He damn sure got it.
Damn sure got it, you know? So you go through that, and then you once you accept that this is where you're going to be, you know, for X amount of time, yeah, you just got to get your routine together. You know, I finished up my degree and I got my associates in business, I kept the mind working because it makes your time go faster. You can do miserable time when you're just sitting in there, you know, watching
acting
DVD
up all day long,
day, acting
and
up,
acting
watching
up.
Nah. I was reading all these magazines and when they started talking about, you know, how people was making money on YouTube and with content and all this stuff, it caught my attention because I'm like, well,
That's what you do.
That's what I do. I'm sitting on a bunch of content, a bunch of footage. And so I really started just getting into that and it was like, oh, okay, I see now, okay. And then you know, everybody kept saying, content is king, content is king. I was like, wow, okay, all right. So I just studied, man, just writing down all my ideas, what I'm going to do, you know, so that when I came home, I was going to be on a mission and because I already knew what I had, what I was sitting on. So now I was getting it to the right people and getting in the right hands and taking it from there. And sure enough, when I touched down, that's exactly what I did. I was just, you know, on a mission. I went, my dad had put all my footage, locked it up in storage for 8 years.
My man.
Yeah, I told him he can get rid of the furniture, he can get rid of all that stuff, but save my tapes.
Please do, you know? Dad, because that is money, Dad.
Yeah, that's the money right there. And it's exactly, you know, what happened. I came home, you know, obviously, you know, when you first come home, you know, some people, I don't want to say they give you the cold shoulder, they brush you off, but they not, you know, it's like, oh, you're home. Okay, good. All righty. Well, I'll holler at you. I'm going to be 100. And that's everybody. I don't care who, that's everybody. So I'm not alone. Yeah. So, and you know, at first I almost was getting in my feelings, but then I was like, you know, shit, they moved on with their life. They doing what they got to do. I can't be mad. So all I did was use it as fuel for the fire. You know what? Cool. I did it before without anybody. I'm going to do it again. So, yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I know I got to be on grind mode. Let me get my grind on. Start getting all my footage together. Start editing it up. You know, I was blessed, you know, with the tools that I needed, you know, computer,
get going.
Yeah, to get going, you know. So I did all that, and you know, a partner of mine, JF, he was like, "Hey, man, I know you got all this footage and whatnot. Let me introduce you to some folks. You know, like I said, everybody knows. All you got to do is just put me in a room with them. I'm gonna do the rest."
Man, that's Ken's forte.
Just put me there. So sure enough, they put me in the room, and I got to talking, and you know, next thing I know, I'm doing a deal with Full Screen. Come to find out, they're the largest online content provider, you know, number one.
World.
You know, yeah. Voila, here I am.
I'm back. You know what I mean?
I'm back.
Ken is back.
I'm back. I still, but there's still
demand.
More. Yeah, it's still more, though. I'm still on the grind, though, you know. All the way back, but I'm back.
Right. So when you get out, Ken, when you get out last year, you know, did you reach out to any of the people that you once dealt with?
I reached out to a few, you know. It's been a long time, so I don't have no direct numbers. I happen to run into a few, and this is what I was talking about, how, you know, man, I'm glad you're home. Oh, my goodness, man, you're home. Oh, yeah, man, let's get together. All right, hit me up. And it's like, then you hit them up, and then it's like, okay, I'm busy. And it's like, you know, you only can tell me you're busy so many times, you know.
I'm busy.
And the thing that made me mad is like, Hold up. You told me to call you because, you know, when you call and they are like, you know, that you're bothering them. So I had to tell them, hey, hold up, man. Am I bothering you? You know what I'm saying? You told me to call you. Oh, no. That's not what it is. I was like, okay, well, that's how I'm feeling. But guess what? Don't worry about it. I already know how this whole thing works. I know that nobody's really your friend. You know what I'm saying? And I know that, you know, because during my whole time, you see who all that is. You know, all you really have is your family. You know, your friends is the people that you really grew up with that know you from years and years. You know, those are your true friends. But this Hollywood stuff, man, is all a facade. You know, it's all about, you know, what can they get out of you? What you know, the next big deal or next this and that. And I understand it, though.
Do Snoop know you home?
Yes, he does.
And did he reach back out to you?
I seen Snoop at his record release party. I went up there like, I'm going up here and see Snoop. It was a closed party where you couldn't even get in. There was no buying a ticket or nothing. And I
right,
was like, oh,
that was
man.
All him.
Right. And I was like, I can't even get in, you know, because, you know, everybody's inside. So I was about to leave, and I ran into Warren G.
My man.
Big shout out to Warren G, because he kept it 100. I said, hey, what's the Warren? He said, oh, my goodness, Ken, what's the man? Why didn't you get out, man? You here? I said, yeah. He said, oh, man. He said, dog see you? I said, not yet. He goes, look, hold your hand down. I said, wow, what's up? He said, I'm going to slide you something. He said, I said, what's this? He said, it's a wristband to get in. I said, man, I don't want to take your band. He said, nah. He said, man, I got 20 people with me. They gave me two damn bands. Take this, man. See, he was having problems getting there. You know, he had a wristband for him, but like I said, you know, he had two wristbands. He had a whole crew with him. The brother gives me one of his wristbands. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yo, go in there and see
and
dog.
Let dog know you here.
Right. I go inside and, you know, it's just, he's insulated and there's a lot of people who really don't want to see me. You know, it's a crew of haters of me because of our relationship that me and him had, you know.
And it was a great one.
Exactly. You gotta understand. I was the odd man out. Here I am, just coming in. First of all, I'm from New York originally. You know, I'm coming into this situation with him where he, you know, most of his people around him that he grew up with and all that.
Oh,
it's like, who is
LA all
right? Right. So it's like, who is this dude bringing these females? And you know, he like. He up there too. He, you know, when we on the tour, I got my own tour bus. I'm not riding on his bus. I got my own tour bus, you know.
Right.
So man, it was a lot of that. When I went there, you know, even security was happy to see me. They like, he told one of them remembered you. Yeah, they remember me. But he called some of the people. He called Daz and all. Hey, Daz, man, Ken is here. He's like, who? He's like, Ken. Daz looked me dead in my face. It was like, oh, what's up? Like, oh. So security tells him, yo, call dog for him, man. Call dog for him, man. Man, Daz kept on doing what he was doing, man. I like he didn't hear the man say that, man. I was like, wow. So after standing there for about 10 minutes, you know, I'm full of pride, too. Look, man, I'm not no groupie. I'm not going to be standing around. Stu finally looks over, though, sees me. It's like, oh, what's up, man? You know, gives me some fire, give me some dap. And then he's like, man, let's make sure we get together. I leave. I go. I get with his manager, who used to be, you know, he wasn't the manager at the time. You know, 8 years later, now this dude done blown up. He's a manager. He's managing, you know, YG and all these other people. He owns a management firm. Yeah, the guy blows up. He's like, yo, Ken, get with me, man. You know, we got to get together and do all of this. So this is who I've been going through, this guy.
Get the dog.
Right. And so it hasn't happened yet. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, because I'm quite sure Snoop want to work with you, but like you say, in 8 years, he done growed into a major icon too, you know, and doing a lot of major good stuff, you know. But at the same time, you know, my man chose Snoop to get with you, and that's what dudes should be doing, getting what you like Big Dog told him to, you know.
Right. But, you know, I already know what it is. So there ain't no need of me fighting it. It's going to happen on its own, you know, so there's no need for me to even try to go through now. Listen, when he see me again, I'm going to be back being who I am. So it's like,
And then you got all that footage from years ago. So you got classic footage, you know? So it ain't like, you know what I mean? You sitting on major stuff, you know? So that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. You know, today is Nate Dogg's birthday.
Happy birthday to my man, Nate Dogg, definitely. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was one of the pioneers of the game, and we loved the sound of Nate Dogg, bottom line. So shout out to Nate Dogg, man.
Shout out to Nate Dogg. What I did was I actually put up a clip of Nate Dogg. Never seen before, you know. And, you know, to commemorate his birthday. You know, Nate Dogg was really funny. And so he was
funny. Is that on your YouTube page, Ken?
That's on my YouTube channel right now. If you go to it, The Buck Wild Show on YouTube.
Oh, it's called The Buck Wild Show?
It's called The Buck Wild Show on YouTube.
Okay, The Buck Wild Show. I'm going to have to look that up. The Buck Wild Show.
Yeah.
Buck Wild Show. Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up, man. So do you see yourself working with Snoop in the future?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah. I see myself working with a lot of people, you know. And the reason I say that, because this whole NWA movie, The Straight Outta Compton, its success is going to open the doors for a lot of stuff. They're going to start doing a lot of, you know, documentaries and other movies because of the success of this one. And because of that, I have all of the footage of these guys from back then, you know.
And still got it.
Still got it, man. You know, I got a classic footage of Snoop and Dr. Dre in the studio. Like right before I went in, I was just over there and I filmed them in the studio, you know, some great stuff. I mean, I got...
So you were Snoop man.
Yeah. I mean, the footage, you know, it's just ridiculous. Like I said, Nate Dogg, I got everybody. I got people who are gone now. I got people that ain't even, you know, I got Gerald LaVert, you know, Anna Nicole Smith. You know, my stuff is a broad range because of my personality. Yeah.
Classic
ball. Yeah. Yep. So if you go to my YouTube page, see a lot of that stuff.
Well, I'm going to go to that YouTube page, you know what I mean? And anything you would like to say, any shout-outs you would like to give to anybody, Ken?
Oh, well, let's shout-out Makita for setting this all up, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely our home girl.
The number one. Yeah, and the number one publicist, she really did her thing.
We love that girl. She always sent us, here, me and my wife, great guests to the show. And, yeah, we definitely love Makita out there in Cali, you know. Much love to you.
Right, right. So, and my man JF and, you know, my cousin MX, you know, just everybody, my brother, Tafan, people who was holding me down while I was away. And, you know, yeah. And, you know, to all the brothers out there who may be in the system right now, it ain't the end of the world. You know what I mean? If you got a date, you know, focus on that date and get yourself right before you get out. Make sure, you know, you use all the things that they have in there. Take advantage of everything. Don't just be sitting there, you know, watching TV, man. Go to school, you know, and I know it sounds cliche, go to school and all that. You don't even have to go
but
to
not
school.
It's real.
But it's real, though. You can go, yeah, I mean, you know, and when I say go to school, I don't mean you have to actually sit in the classroom. There's people in there that know some stuff. There's some real bona fide people in there, especially like, you know, like in the feds. In the feds, you come across so many real people. I mean, that was doing big things. You know, I was in Cumberland with Jack Abramoff. That was the big time lobbyist who took like $100 million from the Indian reservations and all that. You know, but
right.
The man had so much knowledge and had so much game. You know, I was just sitting there soaking it all up. You know, I would talk to those cats like that. Yeah, to get that game. So
what it is, yeah. Them the ones you sit around, though. The ones who know, yeah, I mean, it's serious that you know, I mean, even though you done committed this crime and I know it was wrong, yeah, I would definitely want to sit around a cat that done took $100 million, because if he can take $100 million, he know how to make $100 million, you know?
Exactly.
That's how you look at that, you know? But what
right.
we're going to do for you tonight, Ken, we're going to play a couple songs for you, man. And, you know, from my vault, you dig? And we're going to come right back with you and let you spin out. You know, these songs, that's off of my albums and things. So we're going to play a couple of joints for you, and we're going to come right back with you for us to close the show out with you. So we'll be right back,
man.
With my man, Ken Fraze, in the building. Be right back
that's
with him.
Right.
Jazeera, Born Da Vinci, Shahid the Great, The Crates, what up, Vans Beats? Let's do it.
Hey, yo, I'm at the job. When I hit, I'm gon' star. I ain't with that train foolishness no more.
Hey, yo, I'm at the job. When I hit, I'm gon' star.
I ain't with that train foolishness no more.
Hey, yo, I'm at the job. When I hit, I'm gon' star.
I ain't with that train foolishness no more.
Hey, yo, I'm at the job. When I hit, I'm gon' star.
I ain't with that train foolishness no more.
It's only natural that you had to be fair. Walking around for miles with their heads up in the clouds. I'm down to earth. Why you been birthed to this verse, feeling the labor pains of fame. When my pen burst, cries of emergency, body shaking like an addict. I can't panic, I'm pushing out the raw talent. Soar from calluses as I'm writing in my scroll. The dark side won't stop sucking at my soul. Evidently, I was put here to be legendary, to be remembered on this plane like the grid campus. Hard to fix, man. If your brain's in chains, I'm sending these spirits out to touch it through your system. It be like extra, extra. Read all about it. Waiting on the day for God, he gon' sound it. Everybody gon' be dealt with just lay your promise. Giving the man with a bet from the tray.
Yo, I'm at the job. When I hit, I'm gon' star. I ain't with that train foolishness no more.
Yo, I'm at the job. When I hit, I'm gon' star.
I ain't with that train foolishness no more.
Yo, I'm at the job. When I hit, I'm gon' star.
I ain't with that train.
train foolishness no more.
And yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gone, sir.
I ain't with that same foolishness no more.
Yeah.
It took a minute, but finally came my time for it. They underestimate my passion and my grind for this. But preparation and opportunity show success. Don't need to be the best or even work harder. Just make my moves precise because I plan smarter. Keep it 100 business because I'm more than an artist. It's been a curse and a gift ever since the movement started. Cut off a lot of ties because most cats is weak hearted and can't hold water when they come to catching charges. I'm swift and changeable because it's hard to touch a moving target. It's politics and everything, so I run with bosses. Plus a few shooters with murder, land rocket launchers. We all hustlers, so we trap money and live lawless. Middle fingers to the world, cause I made it regardless. On the way to the top, I hear them all talking. So I'ma wait at the top and make the stars.
And yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star.
I ain't with that train foolishness no more.
And yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star.
I ain't with that train foolishness no more.
And yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star.
I ain't with that train foolishness no more.
And yo, I'm at the door. When I hit, I'm gon' star.
I ain't with that same foolishness no more.
To the hottest show worldwide, The Streets Don't Love You Back. And we definitely kicking it with my man Ken, definitely in the building. And we're going to go right back to him and we're going to close the show out. Yeah, Ken, we right back at you, my guy.
Oh, okay. What's happening, man?
Yeah, so you got a website, Ken, or give them the YouTube channel they can go check out. Let's get these folks involved with the business.
Yeah, the YouTube channel is The Buck Wild Show. That's exactly what it's called. You know, we definitely have that. Let's see, what else? And, you know, my Instagram is at The Buck Wild Show. Everything is The Buck Wild Show. You know,
my man. And yeah. You got a Facebook page for The Buck Wild.
You know, I have my regular Facebook page. I don't have The Buck Wild, but I will be putting that up. I do have my other Instagram page is at Buck Wild Ken, BUCKWILDKEN. So
that's,
you know,
what it is. So we want everybody to go check my man Ken out, you know what I mean? Get familiar with his great work and, you know, let's keep this thing moving. And, you know, he just stepping down almost a year anniversary. and let's start putting this thing back in the forefront for him, you dig? So we want to thank all our viewers for tuning in tonight. And Ken, I want to thank you, my man. It was an honor for you to come on the show tonight. And if you get a chance, check out what me and my wife do with our organization, the StreetsDon'tLoveYouBack.com. You know, we educate kids against gangs, drugs, and violence and things like that. So check us out on the website at your, you know, time, and we can continue to promote you as well, you know?
Man, most definitely, man. And, you know, if you ever, you know, need me to speak at something, you know, just go ahead and contact Makita, because I would love to do that. Because before I came home, there was this program we was doing called Vision Program, where they would have, you know, troubled teens come in and you would talk to them and so forth. So I'm for all for that. You know, anything to help keep the young ones up out of there.
That's what the bottom line is. And, you know, me and my wife, we have an intervention program, too, the Streets Don't Love You Back intervention program. And it's in several prisons, you know, and we're in several halfway houses here in Arizona as well. And we're just putting that program across the country. So I definitely would like you to get involved with that as well, due to you've been down and you know what it is now to be behind them gates. So I'll send that email to our girl Makita, and she can forward it to you, you know, about our intervention program.
Okay, man, I got you.
Hey, so we appreciate you, my friend, and thank you so much for tuning in tonight.
Man, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure, brother.
It's always love, man. Peace and love.
All righty, man. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me. Yes, sir. Yes, that was my man, Ken Frazier, in the building. You know, Ken Francis in the building. And great interview. You heard all his Instagrams and different things. Go check him out and check him out on his YouTube channel and everything. So we want to just say thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. You know, peace and love, and we out.